for today. And by the way, we are continuing with our theme that we have been going with for all year, and then the subject matter been going with for the past week, or weeks, I should say, amen. And we're extraordinary God, delighting in using ordinary people, amen. And you're in at Colossians chapter 3 today, Colossians chapter 3, amen. The subject matter has been ordinary sinners with an extraordinary Savior. And part one was ordinary sinners and our sin problems. And we talked about how many mistakenly believe they can be saved from their problems. Because the scriptures in Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not dealing with the problem of sins that we accumulate, but our sin nature, or we are sinners. And so he has come to save us from that place called hell because of our sin. That was part one. Part two was then concerning our extraordinary Savior and our success possibilities. God's not going to save us from our problems. What happens when we do get saved to our problems? And we found out what happens to our problems. Nothing. Only one God is right. Amen. Nothing. He doesn't do anything with our problems, but he successfully allows us to navigate through our problems through learning about him. What did he tell his disciples? He said, observe his ways. He said, I want you to be with me. And then we saw, observe his words. He said, in submersion. He said, baptizing them. Then he said, observe his words in submission to teaching. He said, teaching them. That's where we left off at last week. Amen. So Jesus said, look, I know you got problems. Now that you're saved, I want you to observe my ways. I want you to observe my word. By the way, the ways and the word of Jesus Christ is more than sufficient for your problems and mine. Somebody say amen. All right, it's more than sufficient. Today, we're going to continue looking at what God does with our problems after salvation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Wives, don't grimace when you read that. Amen. As it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, don't grimace when you read that. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. Children, don't have a stroke when you read that. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Notice verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters. That's talking about whoever you work for. According to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. Come down to chapter 4 and verse number 1. Masters, that means if you're a boss or an employer, give unto your servants that was just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Verse number 2, read that in chapter 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul here begins to deal with some relationships, wife, husband, the children, the servants, or whoever's working, and then the master, whoever is the boss. Then he caps it off and says, continue in prayer. In other words, what Paul is saying, that if you're not careful, you can have problems in relationships. Somebody say amen. We left off with Jesus last week saying, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have everything we need in Jesus for our problems. We just need to put it into practice. Amen. I was just talking to somebody recently. They say, you know what? I've been doing this study and man, it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. The things of God really aren't hard. Doing them is the hard part consistently. That's the hard part. Today we're going to look at some relationships that we have and some problems that we have with that. And I think you might be surprised where these problems began. Amen. Father, work in our hearts tonight, or this morning, I should say. And Lord, help us to understand that the relationship problems are going to be with us. Lord, there's a formula that you have given us. You've already told the disciples to be with you. Lord, we need to observe your ways. And then you told them to obey your words and submersion. You said baptizing them. But then you said go one step further and to obey your words in submission, teaching them to observe all things. Lord, there's so much that we need to learn. Help us to continue looking at what you want to do with our problems after we get saved. Lord, recognizing everything that we need in Jesus Christ, we have for our problems. It's no mystery. It's not rocket science. It's not hidden from us. It's right before our eyes. Then, Lord, help us to do what we need to do with what you've given us, that we can navigate with the problems that we find ourselves with in this life. We thank you. We love you, Lord. There's not a problem that we have that you can't solve. There's not a problem that we have that your grace is not sufficient for. And there's not a problem that we have that you won't see us through. So thankful that you said, and Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God, help us to recognize you're with us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. But you want to teach us through our problems what we need to learn. May we leave here differently than we came in, a little bit more Christ-like in what we think and what we say and what we do, a little bit more conformed to the image of Christ, Lord, that we may please you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, press it upon their hearts. Their main problem is a problem of sin and a place called hell, and they must be born again. But those that are born again, help them to see their problems can be navigated better with the presence and the power of Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the song that will be sang and the sermon that will be preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad we're here in the house of the Lord, you know, and the Word of God is always exciting. It's always fresh. And, you know, one thing I learned in my Christian walk that, you know, the things of the Word of God don't really get any more difficult. It just gets more difficult to do what God's told us to do. Amen. But it should be just the opposite. It should be that much easier because we've trusted Christ, and it gets easier and easier to live by faith as the days go on. Amen. But I've also learned something as well. If we don't learn something early on, then we're going to be in bad shape as time goes on, because now we're set in our ways. Amen. How many know what it's like to be set in a way? Amen. You have certain things that you just like to do. It's hard to get out of that habit. Amen. I definitely understand that. Turn over to your Bibles there. Leave your finger in Colossians. We'll come back there. Matthew 28. Because that's where we left off at last week. Matthew 28. But we will come back to Colossians chapter number 3. And we left off with Matthew 28 and verse number 20. And we read verse 19 where Jesus said, I want you to observe my ways and observe or obey his words there. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And we said this by way of introduction, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to obey my word in submersion or baptism. Why? Baptism says the old man that I used to be is dead and buried. The new man that I am is raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, with that old man went down old ways, old thoughts, and things of that nature. But when you come up out of the water, you don't know what to do. Why? You've never been born again. This is the first time. Amen. And someone said, well, I got saved 5 times, but you only got born again once. Amen. You can say what you want to say. God knows when that was. Amen. If I could tell the truth, amen, I went and asked the Lord to save me about 12, 15, 35 times after I got saved. Amen. But guess what time I was really born again? February 3rd, 1991. The other times I just doubted what God told me. Amen. So when he comes down there, he says, now I want you to get them baptized or submerge them, but then I want you to teach them in verse number 20. Notice what he says there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Why teach them? So that they and we can navigate wisely through the problems that we come to Christ with. By the way, every last one of us came to Jesus Christ with a problem. Even if it was just your sin problem. Amen. Everybody came to Jesus Christ with a problem. And because when we come to Jesus, we have these problems, Jesus wants to teach us how to navigate through life with these problems. Somebody say amen. We have problems. Now, what am I going to do with these problems? Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I submit to you that many of our problems can be wisely navigated through by observing Jesus' ways, obeying Jesus' word in submersion, and then submission to his teaching. Why? He wants to teach us how to handle problems. Amen. How many of y'all work on a job where you have to troubleshoot? Amen. Your job is to find out the problem. Once you find out the problem, your job then is to what? Fix the problem. Amen. They call that troubleshooting. Amen. So you find the trouble, you shoot it. Amen. That's why it's called troubleshooting. Y'all don't get that? That was supposed to be funny, brother. Find the trouble, you shoot it. Amen. It's called troubleshooting. Amen. Then you fix it. Amen. And then you can get paid money. Amen. When we're born again, we need teaching on how to navigate wisely with our new life. Why? It's new. It's brand new. What's old? The old life with the old problems. By the way, can I handle my old problems with my new life the old way? No. But that's what many try to do. I come to Jesus Christ with these old problems. I get my new life. And then I go back and try to solve my problems the old way. It doesn't work that way. That's why Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. Notice what Colossians states about being taught concerning Jesus to navigate with our new life. Go over to Colossians chapter number 2. Remember, we've got a new life, but I still have old problems. Colossians chapter number 2. And in Colossians chapter number 2, notice verse number 3. Because I want you to notice the wisdom and the knowledge in Christ that we can have and that we should have. And keep in mind as well, when we first get saved, the old man is still dominant. Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 3, speaking of Christ here, you see at the end of verse number 2 of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of, what's that word? Wisdom and what? Knowledge. Knowledge is the Greek word that means science, to know. So he says wisdom. Wisdom is the correct application of biblical knowledge. Knowledge is the know-how. Then come down to verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, who? Christ. And established in the faith, that means being stabilized, as ye have been, what's that word? Taught. So Jesus said, teaching them, I've got to be taught how to handle my old problems with my new life. Y'all follow me? Abounding therein with thanksgiving, thanking God that I can handle my old problems with my new life. Come down in verse number 9. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, what's the word? Bodily. So in other words, when you see Jesus, he has the fullness of the Father, and he is the Son, and he has the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his bodily form. How do you think he can walk on water? How do you think he could heal the blind? How do you think he could turn water into wine? How do you think he could make a lame person walk? How do you think he could feed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish? How do you suppose he could call Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth? How do you suppose he could touch the dead person that was being born on the stretcher and the man comes to life? Because Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. He is God in body form. He is the Spirit in body form, and he is the Son. So it says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Now notice verse 10, and ye are, what's the word? Complete in him. That means I got everything I need. You get these little gadgets from the store, and it says complete, ready to assemble. But what do you have to do? Assemble. I like the stuff you just take out the box and start using it, amen. I don't want to assemble anything, amen. I don't want any parts that can be left over from my ignorance, amen. I don't want an extra piece here. Sometimes they put extra pieces in there because they know you're going to lose one, amen. And you look, you say, man, there's an extra piece because I lost the other one. It fell down the drain or whatever, amen. Praise the Lord. I got this extra piece. The Bible says we're complete in Christ. It means you got everything that you need. Isn't that exciting? Notice what he says. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Out of the problems that I mentioned a few weeks back, there are four key problem areas that you and I have when we normally come to Christ for salvation. All the other problems fall underneath these problems somewhere, somehow, some shape, fashion, or form. And the first of the four problems that we're going to discuss today is relational problems. Relational problems. Many come to Christ with some sort of relational problem. Either it's a problem with a husband, a problem with a wife, problem with a child, problem with a parent, problem with the boss, problem with your grandma, problem with an aunt, problem with your neighbor, problem with the person that bit your dog or whatever. There's a problem somewhere with somebody. And if we don't have that problem, you know who else we got a problem with? God. God, I got a problem with you because you took my wife, you took my husband, you took my mama, you took my daddy, you took my sister, you took my brother, you took my friend. You didn't give me this, you didn't do that. I got a problem with you. Most of the problems that we come to Jesus Christ with are relational problems. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, no, my problem was different. I guarantee you it was somewhere in the relationship business. So that's the first of the four that we'll discuss today. We're only going to look at relational problem because that one is really, really deep. Relational problems. Many come to Christ with some sort of relational problem. Question, would it surprise you if I told you that a good portion of our problems are self-inflicted? In other words, most of our problems, we created the mess ourselves. Amen. Question number two. Furthermore, would it surprise you if I told you that many of our problems started when we were children?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Amen. So most of the problems that I have, I caused them. And most of the problems I have stem from my childhood. And then the third question is this. Furthermore, and lastly, would it surprise you that the same way problems can be solved as children work for adults? Amen. So what am I saying? Most of my problems start with, if you weren't so bullheaded and hard-headed as a child, you probably would have learned some things. If you weren't so bullheaded and stubborn, you probably would have had some things go right for you as a kid. But I have to do the Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, disaster. I did it my way, confusion. I did it my way, jail time. Amen. Amen and oh me. So would it surprise you, first of all, many of our problems are self-inflicted. Would it surprise you if I told you many problems started when we were children? And lastly, would it surprise you that many, the way the problems are handled as children are handled for adults? Amen. Many of our problems are relational problems with God and with man and begin early in life. Children start off with parent problems already, and on it goes. They learn that infamous word, no. No. And as adults, don't we hate hearing no? Well, guess what we said when we were kids? No. See, it just perpetuates. When we were kids and our parents called us and said, come here, Johnny. No. Now, all it takes is for mama and daddy to light you up a couple times. And no will become a gladly yes. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes we don't get some corrective actions, and so no becomes no, then no, then no, and then guess what? The rest of our life we just no, 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 and you wonder why we have problems. We will have relational problems as wives, as husbands, as children, as servants or employees or masters, as the scriptures say. But where do these relational problems begin? They begin as children. Go back to Colossians chapter number 3. Matter of fact, go back to 2. I want to reiterate a point here. Because before we ever become a wife, or before we ever become a husband, before we ever become a servant or master, guess what we were? Children. Before we ever became a wife or a husband or a servant or a master, we were children. And adult problems, hear me now, adult problems are just child problems magnified. Somebody say amen. They're child problems that have been magnified because they were never corrected. They were never addressed. There was never any kind of restrictions placed on the child. The child was able to get away with that attitude, that rebellion, that revolt, or whatever it was, and they got bigger. And by the way, revolt and rebellion doesn't get smaller at with time. It gets bigger till we repent of it and get it right with God. Why are adult problems and child problems magnified? Because they were carried over from childhood and grew with us. And often it's because of two basic principles. And here, this is the basis of everything I'm going to say here. These two principles. Number one principle is in Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. And ye are, what's that word? Complete. Ye are complete in him. The first basic principle that's involving why we have problems is we don't realize and we're not taught that when we get saved, we're complete in Christ, and we're not taught that. Hear me now. We think there's somebody else that completes me. Somebody say amen. Our children need to be taught completeness in Christ too. Hey, son, you've got everything you need. Hey, daughter, you've got everything you need in Christ. But instead, we go looking for somebody else to be completed. And when they don't meet your satisfaction, guess what? You dump them because they don't complete you. Amen. And ye are complete in him. I read a devotion I read a while back. And this hits the nail on the head. And this is about compete, or complement. Detailing relationships. By the way, in a relationship, the relationship is there to complement you, not complete you, and not compete with you. It goes on to say this: many have assigned the significant others in their lives the impossible task of making them happy. Given the immensity of the endeavor, no wonder they're disappointed time and time again. What am I talking about? You expect somebody in a relationship to do something for you, whether it's a wife or a husband, a son or a daughter or a parent, friend or whoever. You expect them to do something, and they don't, you become disappointed. The very notion that another person can give you what he or she doesn't even possess is ridiculous. Your friends are still seeking fulfillment of their own. How are they going to offer you what they have yet to find for themselves? Your spouse is searching for satisfaction just like you are. How is he or she going to give it to you? Goes on to say, many have abandoned relationships that had incredible potential because they were trying to get from someone else what he or she did not even have to give and can only be found in Christ. I say, there are certain things that a husband can only get from Jesus. There are certain things that a wife can only get from Jesus. There are certain things a child can only get from Jesus. There's certain things that only a parent can get from Jesus. And on we go. And when we try to find it in someone else, we're always going to be disillusioned. And I'm going to have problems because you let me down. Amen. He goes on to say this. We often say things like, he didn't make me feel like I hoped he would. She didn't make me happy. I didn't feel fulfilled when we were together. Well, last time I checked, we are complete in him. So I don't need somebody to fulfill me in that way. Amen. And so they ended up forfeiting what could have been a beautiful thing. My sons are going to laugh at this. Many of us are waiting for the Jerry Maguire moment. Y'all know where I'm going with that one. That instant when we encounter the person to whom we can say, you complete me. But other people aren't in your life to complete you. They're there to complement you. Amen. You should be goes on to say, you should be a whole person in Christ, having a fully developed identity that's defined by your personality in Christ. Wow. What am I saying? We're constantly looking for someone to complete us when the Bible says, I'm complete in Him. What am I saying? He said, teaching them. You are complete in Christ. Yes, you can have fulfillment. Yes, you can have a relationship. Yes, you can have these things. But when I'm looking for that which only Christ can give me, I'll be disillusioned every time. Every time. He goes on to say this. No one else has what you're looking for. They're all looking for it too. Why? Because I'm complete in Christ and nobody can give me what Jesus Christ only can give me. Every person is born in their heart with a space that only Jesus Christ can occupy, fulfill, supply, and replenish. And anytime I look for it in someone else, I'm going to be disillusioned. Anytime I say, you complete me, I'm headed for disaster. Because what happens when they don't complete you? You dump them like a bad habit. Why do you think there's so many divorces out there right now? Because people are looking for fulfillment and completeness in everybody and everything else but Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are busy trying to get a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a relationship, a job, or money, or something to complete them because they bypass the completeness in Christ after getting saved because they didn't learn, they weren't taught that I'm complete in Him. I'm just saying. Hey folks, I learned early on when I got saved. And by the way, if you felt that way when you got worried, you are not alone. I felt the same way. I said, man, my wife, she completes me. She is everything I'm not. That's not completeness. That's complimenting me. That's helping me out. The Bible says, for Adam, there was not an help meet for him or a help that was right for him to complement him, to be what he was not, not to complete him. He was complete when God made him. Amen. But relationships, problems happen because we don't understand we're complete in Christ, and I'm looking elsewhere for completeness when this came at salvation. I'm not saying don't get married. I'm not saying don't get a job. I'm not saying to have money. I'm not saying any of those things. But before those things, we need to realize we're already complete in Christ when we come to Him. My mother helped groom me with that. She said, boy, you need to be you. Don't try to be somebody else. You have everything you need to be you. Why would you try to be somebody else? Be the best you can be in Christ. Why? We're complete in Him. Many are looking for completeness in their spouses, their bosses, their employers, or somewhere else, and that brings problems. Once a child learns that they are complete in Christ and obeys his parents, life then can excel from that point on. Why? They're not trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. I don't need to be something for you. And I'm still me when you don't accept me. Amen. I go home with me. I don't go home with you. And I think many of the problems that we have in relationships, we're trying to be somebody we're not. We want to be what you want me to be. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. I cannot be the pastor you want me to be. I've got to be the pastor God's called me to be. Now you can get on your knees and you can pray for me. Hallelujah, and praise God, I need your prayers. But don't try to make me be what you want me to be, because that's not the will of God for my life. The will of God for my life is to be the pastor God's called me to be. And I'm complete in Him. As a husband, that should be true. As a wife, that should be true. As a child, that should be true. We have to be complete in who we are in Christ. Otherwise, everybody's going to let you down. Everybody's going to let you down. Because you're always looking for something that you cannot get from them. I'm just saying. Once a child learns they are complete in Christ and obeys his parents, life can excel from that point on. They're not dependent on someone else. Only Jesus never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Many trying to be what everyone else wants them to be. Problems come when we feel incomplete in Christ. Then when we feel incomplete, we often want or need man's approval in some kind of relationship. Hence, we go looking for a relationship of some sort. Somebody say amen. Whether it's more money, another job, another location, another wife, another child, another this, another that. I'm looking, but I'm complete in Christ, and I've got to learn what I have in Him. By the way, if you're happy in Jesus Christ and content with that, God will bring all kinds of blessings your way. If you're always looking for something else, guess what? You're never going to be content, because there's always going to be something else to look for. Amen. I remember when I was in college, I got a handle on that. I thought, man, I'm never getting married my entire life. Glory to God, it's good being me. Man, I said, it's good to be me. Man, I can do this, I can do this. God's giving me this. It's good to be me. Then I messed around and saw Miss Dawson. And I thought, hey, it's good to be me, but it's better to be with her. Amen. Hey, I like being me, but I like being with us. Hey, but what happened? I was content with who I was. First, I knew who I was, and I knew what God had made, and I'm not trying to be somebody else. Although I did have that Pittsburgh Pirates hat, trying to be cool. That was not me. That was not me. I looked like a thug on steroids. Thug personified. Shades on inside, Pittsburgh hat. Who wears shades on inside? No, I mean, I'm going to say that, amen. Anyway, trying to eat food with shades on, trying to be cool. What am I saying here? When I'm complete in Christ, and when somebody praises me, I can pass that praise. When I'm complete in Christ, when someone has constructive criticism, I can ponder it and use it as necessary. When I'm complete in Christ, when someone has destructive criticism, I can put it away and it doesn't bother me. But when I'm not complete in Christ, when people criticize me, I go into my shell to be what they want me to be. When people criticize me or give me constructive criticism, I'm trying to be what they want me to be. I say, well, I'm not good enough, amen. And God does not want that, because I'm complete in Christ. Let me tell you something. Problems come in relationship because we're not complete in Jesus Christ. We think there's something else that we need to have. If there's something you need to have, study the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring out of you what He's already put in you. But see, we don't have time to study. We don't have time to understand that I'm complete in Christ. I don't have time to pick up the book. I don't have time to get in every day so that Christ can show me who He is and who I am and what He needs to bring out of me to make me what I need to be. I don't have time for that. So I'm living on everybody else's impersonation of what I'm supposed to be. Amen. Folks, that's the first principle point here. The Bible says I'm complete in Him. And when I'm complete in Him, it doesn't bother me what people say. It doesn't bother me if they try to criticize me or put me down. It doesn't bother me if they praise me, because I say, hey, it's to the glory of God. It's all God and none of me. See, I can pass the praise on. When the constructive criticism comes, I can ponder and say, man, you know what? I need to think about that. Let me check with God and see what He says about that. When people try to destroy me with critical criticism, I can say, you know what? Water off a duck's back. I know who I am in Christ. I'm complete in Him. When we don't have that, we're depending upon everybody else's interpretation of who we should be and what we should be. Folks, we know what the Bible says, and I should be complete in Christ, meaning I have what I need spiritually in Jesus Christ. And ye are complete in Him, which is ahead of all principality and power. By the way, may I say this, children feeling incomplete in Christ often don't obey. They often make bad servants that don't obey. They often make bad masters that don't give. They often make bad wives that don't submit. And they often make bad husbands that don't love. Why? I'm not complete. I'm trying to be what you want me to be. And so I'm trying to be the best husband I can be. I'm trying to be the best wife I can be. I'm trying to be the best servant I can be. I'm trying to be the best master I can be. And whilst I'm trying to please everybody, I'm not pleasing God. Amen. Flip over one chapter to Colossians chapter 3. I said problems in relationships often come from two basic principles. The first being that we neglect the fact that we're complete in Christ. The second is basic obedience as a child. That's the second principle. Notice down there, children, obey your parents and Lord, verse number 20. Colossians 3:20. Many of our adult problems could have been avoided just by simply obeying our parents as a child. Amen. Folks, I wouldn't have some things in my life right now if I would have just obeyed my parents. There would be a lot of things in my life that I don't have to look back with shame on if I had just obeyed my parents. There are a lot of things that I'm ashamed of or that I'm sorry that happened if I'd have just obeyed my parents. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, adults. Notice children obey your parents in all things is in the middle of wives and husbands, command and servants and masters. Notice that up above from children obey, verse 19, husbands love your wives. Guess what? Husbands come from children. Notice verse 18, wives submit yourselves to your own husbands. Guess what? Wives come from children. Go down to verse number 22. Servants obey in all things. Guess what? Servants come from children. Go down to chapter 4, verse number 1. Masters give unto your servants. Guess what? Masters come from children. In the middle of the wife and the husband and below the servant and the master, guess what? Smack dab in the middle, the child. The child. Why? All of those people come from that. Before I can make a godly wife, I need to obey. Before I can make a godly husband, I need to obey. Before I can be a godly servant, I need to obey. Before I can make a godly master, I need to obey. So the command for the child to obey is between both sets, children needing to obey. Let me show you a similar passage. Hold your finger there. Say, preacher, you going to Ephesians? No, I'm going to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. What's in Exodus chapter 20? Ten Commandments. And you find wife, husband over in the New Testament, and then child, then you find servant and master. And in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, 12 is similar. And notice verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You find this command smack dab in the middle of the relationship between God and man. What am I saying? The first commandment is down in verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment is verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The third command is in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the fourth commandment is verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Before I have a relationship with man, guess the next command is to who? Child. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So he says, the relationship between God is 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom! Put that child in there. Honor thy father and mother. Why? Because the next commandments all deal with my relationship to someone else. Notice down there, thou shalt not kill, 13. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. What happens here? If as a child I learned to obey my mother and my father, I should not kill. I should not steal. I should not commit adultery. I should not bear false witness. I should not covet if I'm going to be right. The same way in the New Testament, the child is placed after wife and then mother, and then the child is there, and then a servant, and then master. If I can obey my mom and my daddy, I'll make a good servant. If I can obey my mom and my daddy, I'll make a good master. If I can't obey my mom and daddy, I'm going to make a bad boss. How many of y'all ever had a bad boss? Amen. You know what? They were not complete. And they found their completeness in the job. And that's why they were a rotten boss. Some of you had employees that were that way. And they were rotten employees because there was something in their life with a relationship that was bad. But you see here, God has made it so that he's got the first top billing. Then the child is there. The child should be taught to obey their mother and their father. Why? To not do the next commandments. Y'all follow me? And so the parallel, child is stuck in the middle in the Old Testament. Child is stuck in the middle of the New Testament. Why? It's the mama and daddy's job to help them obey. Amen. By the way, the child can't teach himself. Honor thy father and mother is before all the other relationships after our relationship with God. If a child can be taught to obey God, they will have less problems in relationships afterwards, especially with mother and father. Amen. How many mother is grieving now because of a child that would not do right? How many dads now are grieving because their child would not do right? And now they're paying the consequences of it. What am I saying? The command is there. Go over to Luke chapter 2. Jesus gives us the best life to show. Luke chapter 2. And notice Jesus' testimony as a child. Luke chapter 2. And verse 51. Of course, Jesus confronted Mary and Joseph with the question, how is it that you sought me? Verse 49. Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But notice verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was, what's that word? Subject. That means he was obedient to them. He was under their authority. He was under their guidance. This is the Son of God. This is God Almighty as a 12-year-old boy saying, I'll be subject to man who is sinful at best. I will submit myself to man that is sinful. I will place my person underneath their authority, and I'm God. Wow. Now, wait a minute. If Jesus did that, we definitely need to do it. If Jesus did it, we definitely need to do it. And notice the result of Jesus' submission. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in, what's that? Wisdom. What are we talking about? We need wisdom. And what? Stature. He grew physically. And in favor. He was in good standings with who, first of all? God. What did the Ten Commandments talk about? Loving God first in the first four, and then the remaining five afterwards, dealing with man's relationship, favor with God and man. Hey, folks, as a child, guess what? I've got a mama and a daddy to obey. But one day I'm going to get out there and I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to work someplace. And I might be a master. I may be a boss. I may have people underneath me. And if I don't learn obedience at home, guess what? I'm not going to make it. Hey, young people, if you don't obey at home, you cannot obey your coaches. Amen. Because sometimes you're going to have somebody tell you to do something you don't want to do. When you don't want to do it, guess what? You're going to be like Antonio Brown, the rest of these clowns. Amen. That rhymed. I didn't mean for it to rhyme, but it did. Y'all don't know who Antonio Brown is. Let's just say that he's not a good character to emulate. Amen. Somebody didn't whoop his bottom when he was a kid. By the way, if children obeyed better in their childhood, it would minimize occupational problems for them later on. If children obeyed more in their childhood, it would minimize emotional problems, civil problems, many domestic problems. You have these wife beating husbands, amen. Most of that could be minimized if somebody beat him as a child. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about beat him up. I'm talking about put the rod on his bottom. Hey, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Bound means it's tightly wound up and it's placed in the child's heart. And the parent has to use the rod of correction to discipline them, to chasten them, to show them the love of God, that that's not acceptable. Otherwise, they will go out and beat somebody. Let them get disciplined as a child. While that'll be minimized. If children obeyed better in their childhood, many medical and dental and financial problems would be minimized because they'd brush their teeth. They'd floss. They'd eat right. Many educational problems would be over and done with. Why? They would study to show themselves approved. Many criminal problems and especially many relationship problems would be solved just by obeying parents. Amen. Obey your own parents, Colossians 3:20. Give you a couple quick things to look at here and we're going to be done. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. A couple quick things here. By the way, what am I saying? A lot of problems adults that you and I have could have been really stymied if we just obeyed as children. But now that we're old, the same formula still works. We just need to obey God. And notice down here, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. The people involved as children. Notice what it says down there, children. Obey your parents in all things. Children, every one of you that's under a guardian or a protective person is the parent person in your life. And so the child there is the people involved. Notice the point involved, obey. That means to perform a command when told to, amen? I had this devotion I read here on the 17th. Notice what it says here. There's an old story about a father whose son was somewhat stubborn and required a great deal of persuading to obey the instructions he was given. After he graduated from high school, he decided to join the Marines. Amen, Janet. There you go. Amen. On his first trip home after boot camp, he was noticeably changed. Boot camp will do that for you, especially Marines. Amen. Air Force ain't going to change you a whole lot. Amen. But Marines, that change you a whole lot. Amen. He was noticeably changed. He said to his father, "You know, my life makes sense now, Dad. Everything you said and did when I was growing up now makes sense. I really, really understand." Somewhat surprised, but very pleased, his father expressed his pride and appreciation. Then he asked his son, what's the biggest lesson you learned? Without hesitation, the young man replied, "I finally learned what now means." Yeah, because if you don't move now in the military, it's going to be different for you afterwards. Amen. It goes on to say, the Lord does not expect us to do what the Lord does not just expect us to do what he commands, but to do it without delay. What am I saying? You learn obedience as a child to your mom and your dad, you'll obey God a whole lot easier. Amen. Amen. You don't learn to obey your mom and your dad, you're going to have problems with God. That's just the way it goes. Some of these hardened criminals, you look at them in jail and they're mad at God. They're mad at their mama. They're mad at their daddy because they didn't put some discipline on them. And now the law has got to put discipline on them. Amen. He said, there is a marked human tendency to procrastination, even in situations in which speedy action seems the best course. If we know what is right, there is no reason for delay in doing it. Somebody say amen. We honor God when we quickly respond to him. There is no substitute for quick obedience to whatever God places in front of us to do. No substitute. He said, I finally learned what now means. Well, amen. The people involved are children. The point involved is to obey a command when he's told. The persons involved, your parents, your legal guardian, amen. Ephesians 6:1 says the same thing. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what, children? Right. The persons involved, your parents. The plan involved, all things or whatsoever is asked of you. The perspective involved, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's another perspective as well. Go to Ephesians 6. It's well-pleasing, but in Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse number 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's the perspective. That it may be well with thee. Normally, if I've got a discipline my children, I'll let them know. I said, did you have a choice in what you did? Yes, I did. Did you do right? No, I didn't. Then I'll say, read that verse, that it may be well with thee. I say, is it well with you now? No, Daddy, it's not well with me now. I say, well, if you want it to be well with you, then you need to be pleasing in all things. And this is one of those things. And folks, by the way, if you're gonna discipline your child, use the Bible. Love them. Let them know that you love them. You don't just go back there and whoop them like we used to get whooped back in the day. Pow, 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 pow. You whoop them all over. Pow, pow, pow. Pow, pow, pow. Back them in the corner. Pow, 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 pow. Clothes hanging all off of them. Whatever. I just got a beating. Now, my mama gave me a couple of those. I'm still living. My dad, I put on two pair of pajamas and a robe one time and went in there, and I came out without the robe and without the pajamas. He beat it all off me. How dare you perpetrate this? Pow, 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 pow. There goes the robe. Pow, 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 pow. There's the top of the pajamas. Pow, 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 pow. There's the bottom. Pow, 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 pow. There's the other bottom. Pow, 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 pow. There, now what you gonna do? I'm naked now, man. How dare you perpetrate and try to fool me like you got on? I know what you got on. Beat it all off me. I'm not talking about beating anybody like that. Although it worked for me. I got the message loud and clear. Aye. Toe the line. Not do that. You know, I haven't made another candle since that's punishment. I made a candle. My uncle helped us make a candle, and I put it by the window, and the fan was blowing. The curtains burnt down and all that. And it was just a disaster. I haven't made a candle since that day. Since that beating, I look at a candle now, I'll light one and blow it out. Amen. That's about it. Can we make a candle? No! We're not making any candles in this house. I have flashbacks. Amen. No candle making in the Dawson home. Go outside. They burn something down. The perspective involved that it may be well with thee, folks. I'm not saying that you beat them unmercifully. I'm saying you talk to them, let them know what they did, ask them what they did, and then say that's not pleasing to God, and you know the rest of the story. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Then you pray with them afterward, let them know you love them. You know, my kids are big now. I sit them on my knee still. Might break down. Amen. I sit them on my knee. Come on up on the knee here. I'm too big for your knee. That's all right. Come on up here. I love you. You know daddy loves you, right? Don't do that no more. We don't want to come back here, do we? Want to make a candle? No. Hey, what am I saying? The perspective, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. So the perspective involved is for this to be well-pleasing. Notice this, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, that's right. Notice what he says down there. Very, very quickly, folks. Y'all listen up real quick. I'm going to give you these next points real quick. So the person involved, the people involved, is children. The point involved, obey. The persons involved, your parents in all things. The perspective, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So if the people are the children, the point is to obey. The persons are your parents. The plan is all things. And the perspective is that well-pleasing. How are we going to carry this out? Folks, I'll give you three quick things here. First of all, it's got to be modeled by us. It's got to be modeled by us. 1 Timothy 4:12 said, but be thou an example of the believers. It's got to be modeled. We have to show them that we're obeying God. It's got to be modeled by us. We have to show them that we're obeying God. Don't you try to be a hypocrite and tell your child to obey God when you don't. It's got to be modeled by us. They've got to see us performing the role of husband and wife or parent and obeying God in whatever. And when we don't, we need to be man enough, woman enough to confess it and say, you know, daddy was wrong. You know, mama was wrong. Please forgive me. I know what God says. I need to do what God's telling me to do. It should be modeled by us. Be that example of the believers. Then number two, it's got to be maintained by us. Maintained by us. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's got to be maintained by us. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. It's got to be maintained by us. Modeled by us. And then lastly, it's got to be mandated by us. We have to expect it. We have to say, God said it, and it's my job to enforce it. Say, preacher, how am I going to enforce it? With rewards and restrictions. When they do right, reward them. When they do wrong, put restrictions on them. It's just that. Does God put restrictions on us? Yes, he does. Does God reward us when we do good? Yes, he does. And so it's got to be mandated. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Deuteronomy 6:3-6 says, teach them diligently. What am I saying here? If we model obedience, we maintain obedience. We mandate obedience from our children. We let them know God said it. I'm just here to enforce it. Let them know we love them. Enforce it with rewards and restrictions. You'd be surprised what God will do. What am I saying? Most of us come to Jesus Christ with relational problems that could have been dealt with as a child. And because it wasn't, I brought it into my adulthood. I'm not complete, and so I'm messing up everybody else's relationship because I'm not complete in Christ, and I don't realize it.
And then I'm not obeying what I should be obeying. And so I'm messing up everybody else's life because I've forgotten that I'm complete in him when I got saved. And I'm trying to handle my problems the old way, even though I got the new man. And folks, that'll cause confusion every time. Every time. What am I saying? Many relationship problems that we have when we come to Christ can be handled through obeying God's word and the teaching of Scripture. And it starts with our children so that they don't have to go through what we went through. And so it can start with us. We start obeying God better than we had before to be an example to them, model it to them, maintain it to them, and then mandate it from them. God said it. That settles it. I'm just here to enforce it. Reward them when they do right. Restrict them when they do wrong. God's word should be paramount and principal when we're disciplining our children. They are the next citizens that's going to be out there. They're the next bosses. They're the next servants. They're the next husbands. They're the next wives. It hinges upon what we do with them. And folks, we've already made a mess of some things already. We don't want them to do the same thing. Say, preacher, I don't have children at home. Grandbabies, your nephews, your nieces, whoever you babysit, work with them as much as you can with the word of God. What am I saying? Relational problems are the key issue that most of us have when we come to Christ. And they can be solved through Christ because I'm complete in him. Father, bless now. Next moments, we have an invitation. Lord, I am so thankful for what the Bible teaches. It's not anything hard. It's just understanding what we have in Christ. And oh God, so many relationships are being ruined because folks are trying to find a completer to their lives. And they've neglected the fact that we're complete in you. In you is everything that we need. God, I pray that you would work in our midst. And Lord, bring us to the point and to the place where we submit to your training and submit to your teaching. You said teaching them to observe all things. This is part of all things. We're complete in Christ. God, help us with that completeness to then go forward with obedience, whether it's obedience as a husband, obedience as a wife, obedience as a master, obedience as a servant. Lord, help us to be the type of person that you would have us to be because we are complete in you in obedience. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now this invitation.